This lesson is entitled Taking Your PowerPoint to the Next Level with Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones is the assistant editor of the Baptist Voice, and he oversees the graphics department at Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Okay, well, the title of today's session simply is Taking Your PowerPoint to the Next Level. If you were in my last class, I went over some of this in the very beginning. Just to tell you a little bit about what I do here in the ministry, my primary job is the editor of the Baptist Voice. I've taken that over since 2007. Also, I'm the graphic designer department director, and I work with the graphics and media. And then on top of that, I work with the slides. And so what you see in the auditorium, not the videos, but just the slide presentations you'll see during the messages, as well as the announcement slides. Those are the presentations I'm responsible for putting together. And I broke up today's lesson into three parts. The first part we're going to talk about is the philosophy of PowerPoint. And I promise you, this is my favorite part. It's the part that so many people gloss over. And I read probably 12 books in the last couple of years on the subject of PowerPoint. Out of 12, probably only one I brought it with me was relevant. So many books out there tell you how to use PowerPoint, but uneffectively. And so it took me a while to find the philosophy that our pastor agrees with, that I agree with, and I think is effective, and that people are using today in an effective way, not just in churches, but just in general when it comes to presentations for businesses or anything. The whole point is we want to be effective. So that's the philosophy, and that's the part that we'll probably spend the majority of time on. And then the second part we're going to talk about today is how to put a presentation together, what are the ins and outs of that, and then thirdly, I'm just going to give you some examples of some presentations we've done here at the church and to give you some idea of how maybe perhaps you can use them in your church and be effective with them. So we'll just jump right into this lesson. I'm told that PowerPoint first began back in 1987 is when it really kicked off and people began to hear the word or the term PowerPoint, but really PowerPoint has gone back a whole lot further than 1987. In fact, I'm told that PowerPoint went so far back, it went even to caveman. And this right here is somewhat seemingly the first PowerPoint. And one of the books I read said that even men in ancient days carved or put paintings on walls to tell stories. And really, that's all a PowerPoint is. It's really telling a story. It's visually communicating to people, and then the Egyptians even used it. We've seen the Egyptian paintings of people there, and somehow they're telling a story with visuals, and that's exactly what we're doing about doing with PowerPoint. If you skip ahead and go throughout the centuries, you'll see even the Catholic churches, they use PowerPoint on stained glass windows, and they would, since they really didn't teach the Bible, they thought they would use the stained glass to depict some Bible stories. And so in some ways, that was effective for them. And then we got even more advanced, and we really got high-tech, and we got the overhead projector. This is just kind of the timeline of how PowerPoint came into being. In fact, I wrote down this. One author I read said this. He said, when I was in 10th grade, my first school, or my school got its first overhead projector. My teacher was Mrs. Bankston. She loved her new projector. She sat down right beside it and taught by it all day long. Before that, she used to write everything on the board. Now she had the overhead glass plate with her black paste pens. I'm not sure whether Mrs. Bankston was a presenter or not. All I remember is she just loved her overhead. I'm not sure if she was interested in whether or not she taught us, but she droned on and on, and so excited to have a new toy. And so when people got the overhead projector, it was very new. And in many ways, when people got into PowerPoint, it was new to them, and they lost the effectiveness because they were so caught up in the program and the tool that they really lost what we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, the philosophy behind PowerPoint. And then, of course, we got more advanced. We got the computer. And then beyond that today, which is it's full-blown projection. And businesses and so forth use this to their advantage, and I think the church can really take advantage of that. And so that's what we're talking about. One parent said this. He said, the good news is that my daughter's teachers are at last beginning to use computers. The bad news is they are using them to make PowerPoint presentations. And Gary Stagger was a parent who had his child in the school system, and the school system, trying to be more advanced, was teaching kids how to use PowerPoint. Unfortunately, the teachers themselves had no clue how to use it. In fact, one Texas public school district said, all of our students are getting laptops, and now we are desperate to figure out something for them to do on them. And so how sad it is that we have a tool, and we're just not using it effectively. Now, our greatest president, I love what he said. He said, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you really want to test a man's character, just give him PowerPoint. So that really is true. And if you really want to test somebody's effectiveness when it comes to communicating through a PowerPoint presentation, just put that tool into somebody's hands who does not know how to use it effectively, and unfortunately it will denigrate the message and not uplift it. Now, here's one man who won the Nobel Peace Prize, and we all know and love him. We know him as Al Gore. And back in 2007, Al Gore, they say the only reason he won the Nobel Peace Prize for his presentation on global warming is because he had an outstanding presentation. In fact, the people who made his presentation were the authors of this book that I highly recommend called Slideology, and by Nancy Duarte, and just a great book, very efficient book, great principles in this book. And Al Gore won that Nobel Peace Prize because he did it effectively. Now, if you remember back in 2003, there was the space shuttle that was rolled out on the launch pad, took off, spectacular. It wasn't just but a few moments, if you remember the story, that there was the vapor trail that could be seen over Texas. And, of course, the sad news is many astronauts lost their lives. And when they began to put the pieces together and find out what exactly happened on that tragic day, they took all the debris that they could, put it into place, and of course, you know how these things are. They begin the investigation, what in the world went wrong, and believe it or not, they found one of the culprits. And that's what it was right there. It was PowerPoint. And just to read you from New York Times, they said NASA had become too reliant on presenting complex information via PowerPoint instead of by means of traditional ink and paper technical reports. And so, in fact, in the next statement, they said it is easy to see how a senior manager might read this PowerPoint slide and not realize that it addresses a life-threatening situation. How sad. Here's a real-life situation documented that somebody threw up a PowerPoint slide, these highly educated men, and it was so disconfigured, people could not understand it. It was so cluttered, as we'll see in a moment, that they lost the message of what the person was trying to present, and unfortunately, because of that, a real-life situation, two women and five men lost their lives. And again, I'm not trying to be melodramatic about it, but if you put it in the spiritual realm, and you think about on a Sunday morning, if you are presenting a PowerPoint along with your pastor, and it is done ineffectively, again, somebody could ultimately lose their life or be distracted and miss the primary message. I think about just an illustration such as this. Oftentimes, we've used illustrations to show visually the gospel, how it works. And again, it can be done effectively, and people can lock in on that. They can understand exactly what the speaker's saying. And you and your pastor, whoever's running the presentation, whether it's your pastor or you, you are both in sync. Now, the amount of time required to develop a presentation is directly proportional to how high the stakes are. And so I feel like the gospel is pretty high stake. And so we want to make sure that if we're presenting, especially in a sermon, if it's a sermon, we want to make sure that, again, that is highly polished. In fact, I'm told that for a one-hour presentation, that's just probably 30 slides, it takes 36 to 90 hours total. So don't think that when you come and you see a presentation such as you've probably seen this week, and I think all of us understand, these things take time. And those who don't do them are the ones who probably understand the least the amount of time it takes. And it does take time, but it is worth it. So 36 to 90 hours, and by that I mean that is the research, that's the ideas, that's the organization, that's the sketch, design, build, rehearse. Those are steps of the process, and we'll get into those in just a second. Just to introduce the scenario, I'm told that from the earliest age, I mean just as early as kids, as they grow up, they are inherently they are very visual communicators. I have a three-year-old son. He just loves for dad to draw, and he draws too. It doesn't make any sense. But they love to communicate through drawings, and that's just how we are. We grow up that way, and that's really, we all love to see things visually, and it captivates us. The sad news is I'm told that less than 7% of major of colleges, when it comes to business colleges, less than 7% of the time that they devote to people who are going out to show off their business, to sell products, they give them less than 7% is dedicated to showing these people how to use PowerPoint effectively. And that shocks me, because if you're in the business world, I think that that should be a higher percentage, because that is oftentimes the selling point, such as, and I think of one of the greatest companies who I think has done an outstanding job when it comes to presentations is Apple. I think all of us would agree. They just do a phenomenal job of selling their product. And after you see a keynote presentation, you just want to go out and buy it. You may not need it, but you definitely want it. They do a great job. They put hours and hours into their presentations. Now, making a bad slides is easy, but it will negatively impact the effectiveness of your ministry. We've all made bad slides, and we've laughed about it. And in many ways, it concerns us. We don't like that. We want them to be better, but we're not sure how to do that. And if we keep up that process, it will affect the effectiveness of our ministry. Now, I'm told more than 30 million presentations are made every day. There's one being made right now. But I highly doubt that of those 30 million, most of them, 99, 98% of them probably are done ineffectively. And maybe somebody said you just had to have a PowerPoint, so they put one together. They didn't understand the process behind it. And the reason behind that is to understand why a lot of people mess up with that, we have to understand, number one, what is it that people remember? I put down this, people remember 10% of what they read. And that's why we're told, read our Bibles every day. You can read it, but you'll forget it. I'm told people remember 20% of what they hear. Just pick up the sermon your pastor preached last week, listen to it, and you'll think to yourself, I don't remember him saying that. He said it. You just only got 20% of it. I'm told we remember 30% of what we see. So if you see a billboard, chances are 30% of the time you will remember that. But here's the big one. We remember 70% of what we see and hear. That is PowerPoint. And that's just a 350% increase from what we hear, 250% increase from what we see. Now, what is the purpose of a presentation? I made it real simple, two words. The purpose of any presentation is to communicate visually. To communicate visually. Mark Templeton, who is the CEO of Citrix, a highly successful company, said, my goal is to say more with fewer words, and the presentation medium forces you to put all your thoughts in a consumable sequence. And here's the danger that most people have when it comes to PowerPoint. I liken it to this example, is if somebody were to come up to you and to say, can you tell me what time it is? And instead of giving you the time, that person gives you the detailed explanation about how a clock works. You think, man, I just asked for the time. I don't need to know all that. And that's how some people view a presentation. They think they have to explain to the audience how every part of this program they're trying to present to the audience works. And instead of just giving them the necessary facts, they begin to explain how it all works and how the movable parts, how this committee is going to work with this committee, and it just blows the people away. They get lost, and they're yawning. You've lost, and the presentation has now become ineffective. In fact, when people were asked what is wrong with the majority of slides, and slides like this one, people responded in this way. They said the graphics were cluttered. There was too much on a slide. Some people said the slide looked like an eye chart. It was just so small I couldn't read it. And others just said the slide was a data dump. It just had a ton of information on there, way too much. It was just overwhelming. Now, the reason for that is what I call the presentation as document syndrome. Now, what in the world is that? Well, in your hands right now you have what I would call a document. It's the notes. It is not a presentation. A lot of people get this mixed up. This presentation is what I'm presenting right here. That right there is this right here. This is a document. This is a presentation. They are not the same. In fact, if you try to treat them the same, you'll leave the audience confused, and they cannot understand what is the difference. Some people, what they'll do is they'll copy their notes and paste it into a PowerPoint and call it a presentation. No. That's a document. That's not a presentation. You want to keep the two separate. You'll put a whole lot more information on your document than you will your presentation. But just understand they're two different things. In fact, sometimes the mistake people will make is they'll say, hey, I can't be at your PowerPoint session, or hey, I can't be at your meeting. No problem. Just can you email me your slides? I'll get the gist of it. And they treat slides as handout notes. Let me tell you this. If you are doing slides right, then the person who gets your slides they won't make a lick of sense. Because if they do make a whole lot of sense, probably you had way too much on the slide. It wasn't a presentation, it was a document. And you'd be a whole lot better off just to email them the document, the notes that you used to give your presentation, than you would be to give them your presentation. So that, again, is presentation, document. You've got to understand they're two separate things. I'll get into that in just a few minutes, how that we separate the two. In fact, if you're here at Monday night, what a great example. You had the handout notes, but then you had the presentation. They were two different things, and they both complemented each other. They went along. Here's a couple different terms we need to understand. There's the document where, you put everything on the slide. There's the teleprompter where somebody just stands there and looks at the slide and says, next. Oh, yeah, that's right. And let me talk to you about this. And then the slide is their teleprompter. Their slide is in control of them. They're not in control of their slide. And you want to make it look as if, again, I'm not tied to the screen. I could leave it if take it or leave it if I need it. I've got my notes up here. I could turn this off and still teach this lesson. I'm not tied down. This is not a teleprompter. That is a true presentation where, again, it just is highly visual. Now, let me give you the proper role of graphics. They're as simple as 1, 2, 3. Here they are, number one. I love this one. This is my favorite one. The presenter focus graphic support. And this next slide I'm going to show you, you'll be shocked to think that you've probably seen it just about every night and not realize you've watched PowerPoint being done effectively. But in this next slide, here is PowerPoint, and here is how it is done effectively. The nightly news, or any news for that matter. This is NBC's Nightly News with Brian Williams. But I want you to notice how this little window up here is a PowerPoint slide. Notice it's not in motion. It only has two words. And it gives you the visual. It says the text. And again, here you have the presenter. Here's another example. Just screenshots off their website, critical condition. Again, two words and a graphic. Two words and a graphic. Two words and a graphic. Just very simple. That is a PowerPoint right there. Just it's done effectively. Now, here's the other thing. If I were to take away the presenter, Brian Williams, and just have the PowerPoint, that would not make sense. If we had no presenter and the news just came up with that picture, we'd all say, what is that about? That's the same way as if you were to send somebody your slides. They wouldn't make sense. On the other hand, if we took the PowerPoint away and just had the presenter, we'd get the full news story. We don't need the PowerPoint. It's just there to enhance the message. And so that's what I call presenter focus, the big presenter focus. He's the presenter focus. The preacher is the presenter focus. The speaker, that's the presenter focus. That is just graphic support. Understand that. Number two, less is more. Simple saying, when in doubt, leave it out. If you just have this itching, you just want to show this graphic, it has nothing to do with your lesson, probably not a good idea to show it. Number three, minimize eye sweeps. Just to give you an example, here is how the human eye works. When you read a page, most of us, we see that large letter that usually on most handsomely printed books or anything like that, there's that large letter that kind of, what does it do? It draws our eyes to that letter, and then we start reading the text. At least in America we do. I know some countries, they read backwards, but in Western cultures, this is how we read the text. We read from left to right. Well, when it comes to a slide, we do the exact same thing, only when it comes to a page, we're only sweeping with our eye just a few inches. When it comes to a screen, I mean, we're sweeping several feet. And in the auditorium, I think those screens are at least 18 feet wide. And so, I mean, they're sweeping, it's sweeping quite a ways. And so you have to keep that in mind. Notice, again, there's only two words. But we read from left to right. The most important information is always going to be on the left. And then you're going to go from left to right. Here's a perfect example. Notice how you never see it this way. It goes against the natural flow of the eye. And so even in this case, the pulpit in this room is on the right location because the presenter focus, the main person, which is me, the speaker, is the focus. And your eye, as it looks, reads from left to right. It should not be, this goes against the natural flow of the eye. In fact, I'm told that even this even plays out in dramas. If you were to have a drama in your school and dramas that are done well, it's what I call the hero-villain principle. The hero always moves, if it's on the stage, in most cases, he'll always move from left to right. He goes with the natural flow of the eye. And here's an example. The hero comes in, takes out the bad guy. Okay. Now, the villain, he moves in the opposite direction of the eye. He goes from left or from right to left. And here's an example right here. Again, if somebody were coming across the stage, going in the opposite direction, the flow of the eye, and just a simple thing to keep in mind. And I'd say this, if you have only one screen in your church and you're trying to decide, you probably want it on the side I just showed you. And in some cases, you have two, and you're in the center, and so it's not a problem. Now, this next slide right here, I'm going to throw it up here, and I want you to notice what your eye looks at first, okay? So we're going to play a little game, and I'm going to flash this up here. Just subconsciously notice what does my eye look at first, and then what do I look at next, and just kind of keep that in mind. So here we go. Okay, there it is. Now, chances are, when I threw this up here, the first thing you looked at was the graphic. The second thing you looked at was you read the text. The third thing you did was you listened to me, okay? And by the way, it's always in that order. Whenever you throw up a slide in your church or in your classroom, understand the first thing the audience does, you've already seen it, so you're not familiar with this, but the first thing they do is they look at your graphic, wow, or whoa. The second thing is they read your ever so long text. And after it's taken them 3 minutes or however long it takes to read your text, they've totally missed what you've said. So whatever you said, you might as well have just stopped talking. They weren't listening to you. They were re-looking at the picture. They were reading the text. And then thirdly and lastly, they listened to what you had to say. So if you had to say anything important when you first threw up that slide, they totally lost it because they were paying attention to this. Now, how that applies to us is understand that if you have something that's very visual and you're going to throw it up, keep that in mind. Pause. Let the audience soak it in. Understand it. Then read the text. Keep the text simple. So just to rehearse these, we have presenter focus, graphic support, less is more, minimize eye sweeps. Let's talk quickly about the transfer of emotion. Talk about the human brain. Don't want to get too technical here, but when it comes to the right side, we have emotional, musical, moody. That's what I would call the PowerPoint part. We have the left side, which is dexterity, facts, hard data. When you put those two together, emotional, factual, you have the factual, which is your notes with your presentation. It works just perfect. That's how the human mind works. Now, communication is, like I said, the transfer of emotion. Here's an example right here of PowerPoint that's done ineffectively. If you were an audience and I was trying to get you to give money to my organization because I'm concerned about the widows of men and women who have lost their lives in Afghanistan, and I've got this great program that I'm going to share with you, this is typically how people do it. Business, church, in most places, they'll give it to you this way. And it's just a bullet point after bullet point. The guy stands up here and he drones on and on. Instead of doing it that way, why not show a picture like this? And while I'm showing pictures like this, I'm asking you, would you consider supporting the men and women who have done so much to help our country, and then people who have paid the ultimate price? Let me ask you this. How will you help us provide for families like this? And right there, it is communicating visually. Right there, that did a whole lot more for you than if I just threw up some bullet points and went through and droned on. Understand, it is the transfer of emotion. Here's the transfer of emotion in motion. Technical difficulty. Skip. Video didn't want to play there. Now, I want to talk about bullets versus sentences. And most of you, we're familiar with bullet points. We've heard of that in PowerPoint. Here's a bullet point that you probably, again, never noticed. Right there. A newspaper does a great job at bullet points. And this right up here is a bullet point. Oftentimes, bullet points don't have an article in them. Baptist Church shares new vision. And why? Because they have limited space, and they're just trying to get the point across quickly. It's the same thing with PowerPoint. You have limited space. You're trying to get the point across. And so when it comes to a PowerPoint slide, you always want to have a main heading, subpoint 1, 2, and 3. And in fact, if you noticed in our services on Monday night, and really I think every session, at least in the auditorium, we always have a main point, and then we have A and B. We don't put the 1s and 2s under the A's. We'll put them in the printed notes, but we won't put them up on the screen. The reason for that is people usually can't follow you past 1A, and they really get lost on the PowerPoint. If you want to go deeper than that, as most people do with their outlines, put it on paper, just don't put it on the screen. Word wrap. It's not like a, it's not a burrito. What that is basically word wrap is a full sentence forces a bullet into a word wrap. Basically what that means is your eye had to sweep across the screen twice. You want to minimize word wrap where you have to look at it twice. You want to really try to keep things on one line. Crafting an effective bullet slide. Again, we've all done slides like this. It's a shame. This is not the way you want to do it. Instead, have that nice, clean font, clean look, alignment. When it comes to using the build, we've all seen that. How low, it just keeps going and going and going. And again, like I said, people don't follow you past this right here. So just cut all that off. Put it in your notes. Just don't throw it on the screen. And here's another example. Here's an example from Monday night. If you notice, we just had the main point, and then we had the subpoints. And so that's what we're talking about. You noticed how they came up. Here's another example of how we do it. Another sermon we did on a Sunday morning. Here's another one. Again, you see the main point. You can do all kinds of things around them visually. We just keep it very simple. And here's another way I did the points. A little more unique. And so there are different ways you can do it. But again, notice the information on there is very minimal. Priority rules for presentations. I'll go quickly through these. Keep the font choices simple. Don't use every font in the book, and I'll talk to you about fonts right in a second. Otherwise, it'll look like a ransom note, your slide. Don't do that. Use a clear typeface. Notice the simple lines, no weight variation on the P, wide openings at the E. I talked about this in the class on page layout. If you notice how street signs, stop signs, they use this font. The reason is at a far distance, your eye can see it. This font, I think, is Myriad. And Arial is, I think, this common PC font. Fonts like that. There's also, Times New Roman, I think. Great font when it comes to reading text. Most books are printed in this type font. It's very easy to read on your eyes at a close distance. But notice the extreme weight variation. Small lines can disappear at a far distance when you're talking about a long auditorium. These lines can sometimes disappear, especially if that registration is off or you don't have an HD quality screen. Keep your font size to a minimum of 36 points. To give you an example, these are what the true font sizes look like on my screen. Here's what they look like up here to you. So you don't want to go any lower pretty much than 36. Text, avoid using more than 6 words on a slide. I know I just broke that rule. That is a standard to go by. So if you have in your mind, I don't want to use more than 6, and you go over a little bit, it's just something to aim for. Text, avoid using abbreviations at all costs. Just looks tacky. You don't want to use Holy Spirit. Not only that, it's also disrespectful. HS or New Testament, NT, or even abbreviations for scripture references. Zephaniah, just making it very, or Genesis, GEN, things like that. Avoid using things like that. When it comes to images, don't use clip art. I know there's Illustrator graphics out there that work well, but just as a standard, the clip art, especially the clip art that comes with your program, chances are it's not something you want to use. And the reason for that is you want to use quality photos, and there's so many out there, and they're free. You can use them. Here's a map I made. I downloaded parts of this from a website, and then I created it. In fact, I thought about this. We can throw this on Ministry 127. I can take the text off. We can leave the text on, give you a couple different versions, because I know sometimes it's hard to find good Bible maps, and so I've just had to create my own. And so if this would be a blessing to you, we'll definitely throw that up there for you, and you can download that. There are many different places you can get photos from: iStock, Shutterstock, Fotolia, Flickr. Some of those, again, especially these three, you pay for them. And Fotolia is very, very cheap. I think there's many others. Big Stock Photo, Flickr. They have Creative Commons that you can use. Google Images. I've heard people talk about that. You can use that as well. Only thing about Google, you have to remember those images. They're all attached to different websites, and each website has different rules about how you use their picture. So just keep that in mind. This picture I did get from Google Images, and that worked great for the Monday night message. this next picture, which we also used in the Monday night message, I got from Flickr. You want in on a little secret? This wasn't taken back in 1945. It was taken, I think, 3 years ago. It was a reenactment. But I made it look a little older, and hopefully you got a blessing out of it. Didn't get lost in that. But many different places you can find photos. Never use built-in sound effects, the car zooming by, things like that. Never use dissolve, spins, or other transitions, none. Now, I know I used a few in here, but when you're teaching about a presentation, you can break a few of the rules. But again, most people will say it is very distracting. I brought several articles up here. Here's one by Michael Hyatt, who is the CEO of Thomas Nelson, the famous publisher, Bible publisher. He sat through so many presentations. Just recently, he wrote this article. I've known some of the stuff he's talked about in here, but it's interesting. People are catching on to this same idea. He said, rule number one, don't give your presentation software center stage. Rule number two, create a logical flow to your presentation. Number three, make your presentation readable. He says, fancy slide transitions and fly-ins get old real fast. And he is absolutely right. Before you know it, you've lost the presentation. You're watching. What's going to happen next? Is it going to fold up into a bird and fly away? Or what? So just be careful about that. When it comes to backgrounds, use a simple background. Here's an example right here. We know we're talking about money. There's a dollar sign there. We don't need that cluttered background. Same thing here. Just kill the background and use it simple. Again, your point gets across. Another thing you don't want to do is you don't want to use white as much as you can. Try not to use white. White is blinding to the audience. All of your face is just lit up. And imagine if you had to stare at that for an hour. It'd get old real quick. Okay, now that is the philosophy. Number two and three are going to go very quickly. Talk to you secondly just about some practical things. This is what we call a theme slide. When you walk into the church, this is what you want to see. Whatever your theme, your church is, whatever that is, that should be up. It's sort of like a banner. And if you don't want to print a banner, throw this up on the screen. And so this is what we go to, if you've noticed throughout this week, when product is done being talked about, the sermon is over, we always go back to what I call the theme slide. Next, we have the title slide, background slide, and illustration or photos. So title slide is your sermon title. Usually consists of the sermon title or presentation title, and then the scripture reference or a subheading, background slide, and notice how the theming just, it all carried all the way through, and you want to really make sure your slides are themed well. Software tools, what do I use to make this? I broke it down to three. There are a few others I use, but these are the main ones. Photoshop, Keynote is for Mac. As you notice, I'm using a Mac. You can use a PC. You can use PowerPoint on a PC. You can use PowerPoint on a Mac. Keynote is primarily made for Mac, and I use that. I just feel very comfortable with Keynote. I've noticed that for every five steps in PowerPoint, Keynote condenses to one step, and it just works very well. And if you have a Mac, I highly recommend Keynote. But you can still do the same thing with your PowerPoint. And then ProPresenter is the system you use for the services, and I'll just a second. Here is Photoshop. This is where we make the slide. Where you good night. Some of this you cannot do in PowerPoint. I understand you cannot do that in Keynote. So that's where to really make those visual enhancements. You do that in Photoshop. Then Keynote. This is what a Keynote screenshot looks like. I have your slides. Very familiar if you're familiar with PowerPoint. Many things look the same when it comes to InDesign. This is how I give the presentation notes to Pastor Chapel. What I'll do is you can print, whenever you print in Keynote or in PowerPoint, it gives you the option of how you want to lay it out. They never had the right layout for me, and sometimes I like to put notes by his notes. In fact, I gave this to him to approve. And that's how I do it. I print it out, and then I chop it in half and give it to whoever's presenting it. And that often helps them, especially if they don't have detailed notes and they just want to use this. And I give them, you can give them preps beside this, what to say about this. And there's a corresponding page number that goes with the brochure. We'll talk about, if we have time, a little bit later. This is ProPresenter. This is what the screenshot looked like this morning. And again, this is what is live. You can actually make a cue, just like you would a cue card. You can throw a cue. This week, we broke it down by morning session, evening session, and you can put the songs in here. You can find a song on the fly. You can do your... it's maybe a little too loud. Let's see if that works. Glory to God, it works. Sermon presentation process. Okay, here we go. Now, Pastor Chappell will give me... I think it's this. It's the pen. I think that's what it... Man, tell you. There we go. Here's an example right here. These were the notes that... this is where it all starts. It starts with the presenter's notes. And I'll go through this as quickly as I can. These were Pastor Chappell's notes. He'll give me his notes. Typically, for Sunday morning notes, I'll get them Friday, sometimes Saturday, and I'll go through those notes. What he's done, and oftentimes he'll say, note, show a picture of discipleship, show a video clip of a teacher and a testimony. And so I'll circle that or I'll highlight it. I'll always go through and look for anything I can, anything he's asked for specifically, or on top of that, anything I think we could communicate this visually, a map, or he talks about a specific event. I know of something we can communicate visually. Then what I'll do is we'll go to work. We'll make the paper outline, which is what you've got, I think, on Monday night or for our Sunday morning notes. And then we have the slides that I'll give him both of these. And he'll approve these. And oftentimes there's some slides that he'll just take out. He'll say, you know, I'm going to go through this quickly. I don't need that. Or he'll say, let's not show that. Or can we add this? And so that's, again, his prerogative. And so he has the ultimate say on that. And then we'll put the presentation together. So that's kind of the process. That's how it goes about. Organizing the information. When you have a large presentation, how do you start to organize that? I usually start with an outline. One book I read suggested that you use sticky notes. And you put them on a board or a wall and use a felt tip pen. And you write on the sticky note what you want on that slide. They suggest a felt tip for the reason that there's not so much room with a felt tip. And if you run out of room with a felt tip pen on a sticky note, chances are you're putting too much on the slide. And then you can take the sticky notes and arrange the information. I've never done that before. I'm just too cheap to buy sticky notes, I guess. I just scratch it on a piece of paper. But that is one way to do it, and I thought that was an interesting way worth repeating. The creative process, I want to show you again. We're going to go back to the nightly news and give you an example. And the sound's not important. What I want you to see here visually right after this map is how they show some stats. And I think we did this in the Tuesday morning session. He's again talking about the tornadoes, how horrible they were. Notice how they use the picture. They throw the text on there. And they cut out the something in there to give it some depth, to give it a 3D effect. Here's another example.
Lost in this tornado. That's the death toll so far. Again, all the numbers here locally will likely change. Untold number of injured, and they're hoping for actual rescues. It makes this the single deadliest tornado since 1947 in the United States. We are talking about a storm which at its base was, give or take, about 3/4 mile across. Reports of multiple funnels coming off the one anvil-shaped storm. It was on the ground, it looks like, for about a 6-mile path while it was here, right through Joplin, Missouri. Winds at the core, at their height, estimated between 190 and 198 miles
per hour. So there you give it. There's an example of something I saw in the nightly news, and I thought that is effective, done effectively. And so I implemented the same thing on the Tuesday slides. And had the same effect as Pastor Wentz. And sometimes that's what I'll look for in a message. You'll see something that has a lot of stats, where typically if you read over them, people lose the effectiveness of those stats. But if you make them visually enhance them, throw the numbers with a current picture, and these pictures, I think I took them in Flickr, it just works well. Here's some other examples of some stats Pastor Chappell has done. that we've thrown on the screen. Another way, sometimes charts are very hard for me to do. And in the 25th anniversary book, you'll see some charts in there. And charts, as the more I delve into charts and trying to visualize things like this, the more I find out that is hard. And just to get started, sometimes what you can do is you can go to Google, type in infographs, or type in whatever you're looking for, drugs infograph. And if you'll, they'll have so many infographs you can look at, get ideas. And that's what I did with this right here, talking about the national debt, just different examples, things you've seen this week. Now, I want to suggest that you have a prompter. Now, here's an example of a keynote with Steve Jobs. Notice down there, he's got a prompter. He knows what is live and what is coming up. In our service, we don't have what is coming up, but we do have what is live, and we put that right there. That's not so the choir can remember the words. That's primarily so the speaker knows what is on the screen behind him, so he doesn't always have to turn. He can look right ahead, and it's right above the camera as well, so we can look right into the camera. The other thing I'll say is practice, practice, practice. Today at 4 o'clock, we'll meet in the auditorium, the media and tech team, some of the music team, and we'll practice tonight's program. We'll go through every slide, every video, and you just can't do that on a whim. It has to be practice. You have to play through. We've all tried to play a video, as I did this morning, and it doesn't work. And you can avoid that by practicing. And then thirdly, just to go over a few quick examples for our dinner series, which is we had a huge campaign that we're building. Obviously, you've heard this talked about, the West Wing, and we had a brochure that went along with a presentation. And I just broke it down. What was great about me doing the brochure and the PowerPoint, and they don't always have to be the same people doing it, but you need to make sure that it's together. It just flowed so well. It went so much along with the book. The book was very minimal in text, very visual, and just went right along with this PowerPoint. We talked about what has been done in the past. We got the flagpole, fellowship area, Ten Commandments. By the way, have professional pictures. Find somebody in your church that knows how to take pictures. It makes a huge difference. We have a gentleman on our staff just does a great job. He's owned that. He's read about it, studied it, and he's helped. And as you can tell, it makes a huge difference. You can use stock photos. We put number two in our presentation, what's in the future. Some of these slides, again, I could put these on Ministry 127, the ones that apply. Street improvements, we upgraded the sound. This is since February. Pretty neat to look through here and think these things have been done. They were not done in February. This one's not quite yet done. Here's the expanded seating. And again, stock photos for the lobby that we have not yet built. Talked about how to participate. Cash offering. 12-month commitment. We threw the commitment card up there on the screen. Very minimal text. I'm showing this just so you can get a feel for it. I know I'm going through it quickly. Online giving, we talked about that. And then upcoming events. We've also talked about our 25-year goals. We've shown slides like this, what we want to do the 25th year. We've already accomplished these right here. These are things we did, a community mailing. Just wanted you to get a feel for how simple this stuff is. Not simple in making, but just very clean. This is a presentation we showed, and it's cut off because it was designed for widescreen. But before you all came, Pastor conveyed this PowerPoint to the church on a Sunday night, I think a week before you all came. And again, these slides are cut off. But he talked about the Welcome Center, what that is for our church. He talked about guest services. We talked about parking. He went through the whole parking thing with our church, talked to people about where they should park. Talked about where the shuttle pickups are. Talked about some new street improvements. We also talked about seating, since there'd be a lot of issues with seating on some of the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. We talked about where the assigned seating was for our members, senior saints, and so forth. Talked about who was to sit where. I really love this one, the big incentive for our people who sat in the overflow. Was a Snickers bar. But that was just an example of one presentation.